All right. Let's see. Announcements. Thursday, we got public ministry, 10:30, Kennedy, and then Friday at 5 o'clock, public ministry. And then, let's see, we're not in January yet. Then we'll have ladies' fellowship second week in January. All right. Genesis chapter 12, one of the most pivotal chapters in the whole Bible. Abraham gets singled out, and then God makes some promises. Abraham, by faith, believes those promises and starts to go the way God wants him to go. Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to give you, we'll read the first five verses, then I'm going to show you in Hebrews 11 where God mentions what Abraham's doing or Abram's doing by faith. But this is it really is one of the most pivotal chapters in the Bible, one of the most, so much comes out of what you're about to read. And well, we'll read them. Genesis chapter 12. These are promises to Abram before he's called Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation." There you go. I know you heard "Make America Great" and all that. America is a great country. The original and truly the greatest nation is Israel. That's been the greatest nation because God created the nation, and God watched over the nation, and God gave the nation many blessings he didn't give any other nation. Verse 2, "I'll make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So you got multiple promises there. "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." All right, so God tells Abram, go to a place I'm going to show you. And Abram says, okay. Look over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Here is the commentary on what you just read. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. This comes in the line of all these men that showed faith and trusted God's words. You had Abel, you had Enoch, you had Noah. And then verse 8, Hebrews 11:8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." All right, so you got a lot going on from verse 8 to 10. Abraham goes out by faith. Ultimately, he has Isaac and Jacob, which comes on later in Genesis. And he looks for a city whose builder and maker is God. And the similarities are uncanny, because that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a place that is built by God and not built by man. And ultimately, you know, heaven is that city and all that stuff. So the Lord tells Abram, go to this land that I'm going to show you. And it's a special place for the Lord. It's a special place. It had been a special place Going back to Genesis, it was, what you'll find out is where God sends Abram was the original land of Eden. And so, unfortunately, by this point in time in history, it's overrun with cultures that are so contrary to God, he's going to get rid of the cultures, or try to. But these promises are national promises to Abram, and you need to take note of that. But let's pray, and then we'll deal with these promises in this chapter. Because what you learn in this chapter, you learn about the promises, you learn about Abram's faith, and then you learn about Abram's lack of faith in certain areas, but the fact that God had made promises to Abraham, he's going to keep those promises. So let's pray, and we'll talk about these things. Father, I pray that you'd help us with these verses this evening and this chapter. It's such a foundational chapter in the whole Bible here about what you're going to do with a people in creating a people and blessing the world, blessing the nations, and then even cursing the nations and things like that. But there's so much that really hinges on what you're saying here in chapter 12. I pray you'd help us with it this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Genesis 12, so God sends Abram out. You've read it. Notice it's national. God says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. The second blessing, he says, I will bless you. I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great. And so Abraham, his name is known throughout the world, whether they're Muslim or Christian or whatever, Jewish. Abraham's name is a pivotal figure in history, no matter really who you are. And he says, the Lord says, I will bless thee, make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, in you, Abram, shall all families of the earth be blessed. So what God sees, just to say, what God sees in Abram here is he is going to produce the nation through which God himself will reveal himself to the world. And he calls Abram out of his homeland and tells him to go somewhere else, tells him to go to Canaan. And so from this point on, the Lord, he has picked out a man. The man is faithful. He hasn't just picked out some random guy. He's picked out Abram because Abram's going to be faithful, and for the most part, and there'll be some places where he falls down, but generally he's going to be a faithful man. And so God's going to use him to create this nation that will be the nation you're going to read about for the rest of the Bible. And it's going to be the nation that God himself will reveal himself through, the nation of Israel. And then it will be the nation that God himself will be born into when he becomes a man. And it will be the nation that God will use to rest his kingdom in, so to speak. I mean, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to Israel, and we said it before. I mean, he's going to Israel. He's not coming to the United States. And what will happen is, just to jump ahead in all this, what will happen? Right now, you're told, because Jesus Christ has come, you're told to go and tell people. When Jesus Christ returns to earth, returns to this earth, and rules in Jerusalem, it's not going to be go and tell, it's going to be come and see. So all the nations will go to Jerusalem to see, and you and I will be booking flights or whatever to get over there to do whatever we can to go see him. And we'll be bringing our gifts, and we'll be bringing our stuff, and we'll be getting over there to get over there and doing whatever we can to get over there. But right now, before Jesus Christ came, come and see, come to the nation. You got to go to the Jews for salvation, and that's how God's revealed himself, through that nation. Then Jesus Christ showed up, And then he says, go and tell all the nations. And when he comes back, it's going to be, come and see now. And so that will be the cycle of things. And like we've said before, Jesus Christ's ministry isn't over yet. Just because he went to the cross and resurrected, his ministry goes all the way through the millennium until he finally puts death down. And then that is the ministry, that is the ministry of Jesus Christ to ultimately eliminate death from his creation and ultimately eliminate sin out of his whole creation. So I know we just said a mouthful there, but all I said all that to say all this starts here in Genesis 12. God picks Abram, picks him because he's going to be faithful, or uses him because he's faithful. The Lord tells him to move, he moves, and he gives him, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 promises here. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Your name's going to be great. I'm going to make you a blessing to other people. I'm going to bless them that bless you. I'm going to curse them that curses you. And so all of those things are national promises to Abraham. And so Abraham is a obviously a key figure throughout the rest of the Bible. And that's why you'll see when Jesus Christ is getting on the Pharisees, a lot of times what they'll say is, we be Abraham's children. And he'll say, you're no more Abraham's children than the rocks are Abraham's children. I mean, you guys aren't anything like Abraham. So, but at point is Abraham's a key figure here. Look in verse 6. You got all the promises there. And I just want to lay them out for you. They just get laid out here. There's so many of them, and they're going to run the whole gamut here throughout the Bible after this. You'll notice one thing, that Lot's with Abram. God told Abram to go away from his family, and we'll deal with this next week, but I'm going to just throw it out there so you can think about it. Every time Abram and Lot show up together in the Bible, Abraham is always a type of Jesus Christ, and Lot is a type of Israel. And I know you might have used Lot as a type of the church and Sodom and Gomorrah and all that stuff, but Lot really isn't. He's a type of Israel is what he is. And you'll see that a little bit more next week. But back to Genesis 12, let's read verses 6 through 9. This is the state of the land that God tells Abram to go to. Verse 6 says, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, which would be Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. All right, just one question before we read on. What is the problem with that statement that God makes to Abram? Unto thy seed I'll give this land. There's nobody in his family. So I think what Abraham probably thought at this time is, Sarah and I don't have any children. Maybe Lot's the guy that's going to get this. And so that may be why he's with him. But God makes this promise and says, under thy seed, I'm going to give all this land. So here's the first title deed ever in human history where God grants the land to a man here. And verse 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So this is, I don't know, the third or fourth time you've seen this phrase show up in the Bible. He called upon the name of the Lord. You saw it in Enos's day in Genesis chapter 5. I think there may have been a couple more times, but this is going to be important. Call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 9, and Abram journeyed going still toward the south. So he makes a couple altars, and the Lord reiterates after Abram picks up and moves and gets into the land. The Lord reiterates, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you this land. And so the problem is, number one, Abram doesn't have any children. The second problem is there's these Canaanites in this land. So that's the state of things. That's the problem. Those are some problems here. Verse 10, let's read verse 10. And when we get to the end of this chapter, and that's kind of what we'll focus on for tonight here. you're going to see that God honors his promises when he makes a promise. I mean, I think we claim a lot of things as promises that weren't necessarily promises and things like that. But when God makes a promise to a man, he's going to keep his end of the bargain. And it really doesn't matter if that man stumbles and falls, if that man chooses to be, I don't know, if he's unfaithful for a little while or whatever. Once God says what he says in Genesis 12 and Abram by faith moves his family, God is going to do what he said he's going to do. So Abram gets to the land, and verse 10. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So there's a famine. You just read it here. Abraham gets to the land. There's a famine in the land. And immediately, Abraham, just as fast as he got into the land, he leaves the land. And he puts himself into a position where now he's outside of where God told him to be. Now he's in Egypt, and now he's facing a problem that he's kind of created. He kind of brought this thing on himself here because he left the land. So Abram's afraid of what's going to happen in Egypt with the people, with the leadership, and thinks they're going to kill him and take his wife, take Sarah. And so he says, just tell them you're my sister so that we don't have any trouble while we're here in Egypt. So that's what Sarah does. Verse 14. It came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. All right, I'm going to stop there. So God has told Abram, I'm going to give you the land, and your seed is going to inherit the land. Abram has gone into the land, and just as fast as he got there, he leaves. He goes down to Egypt. Now he's outside of where God wants him to be, and now there's a potential problem here. Now Sarah looks like she may be taken by Pharaoh, and now whose children are going to be inheriting the land in all this mess? And so God, honoring his promise, he makes it so that Pharaoh and Pharaoh's house, none of them get to touch or marry or be with Sarah in any way. So there's no question about whenever she has a child, there's not going to be any question about where his child comes from. But God honors his promise, and notice this, even though Abraham has now fled for, I don't know, greener pastures, gone down to Egypt, and he's outside of the will of God, but God's still going to honor his promises, if that makes sense. He's still going to honor what he told Abram. So the Lord plagues Pharaoh and his house, the Bible says, with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. You'll see this history repeat multiple times here, not just Abraham lying about Sarah, but the fact that Egypt's going to get plagued because of the people that are there. Israel's going to be in Egypt. Egypt's going to get plagued in Exodus. You'll see this thing. The point is, you've got a little, in this chapter, you've got a template for a lot of the history that's going to continue to happen in the future here. All right, so Egypt gets plagued, Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Verse 18, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded all his men, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. So, the end of this chapter, God honors his promise, and here's the template that you're going to see all through the Bible in the here. There's a land that God looks at, and God is planning to plant his kingdom in this land. He finds a man in Abram, and he sends Abram to that land, but the problem is in that land are the enemies of God. So he's going to tell them, ultimately, you have to flush out these cultures and all that kind of thing. He sends Abram to this land, which is Eden, which you had read about in Genesis chapter 2. Sends Abram to this land where he plans to establish a kingdom in the future in Jesus Christ. And there's famine in the land, and so Abram leaves the land and it ends up in Egypt. And you'll see that replay multiple times. You see that happen with Exodus. You see Jacob and all of his children end up in Egypt. And then a few hundred years later, Egypt is plagued because of the Israelites in Egypt. And so this thing is cyclical. History just kind of repeats itself. But this land, God looks at this land. And we mentioned it this morning, and I'll say it again. The reason God gets in the future here, he tells the nation of Israel how to conduct their business while they're in the promised land. He says, this is how you need to conduct your business. And he gives them a law. He gives them a priesthood. He gives them all this. He makes them a nation. He makes them a peculiar nation, different from all other nations in the world. And the purpose is to reveal God to the world through this nation. And so in all that, Israel disobeys God. We read about it in 1 Samuel, which we're reading about, Sunday morning. Israel wants a king and all that kind of thing. And God had given them a prescription for how to conduct their business in the land, how to farm the land, how to give of the land and give of the production of the land back to God and things like that. And Israel doesn't do that. They don't ever do that. Once they get a king, they don't ever do that. And so you'll see God dealing with Israel in a way he doesn't really deal with other nations. For instance, sometimes he'll withhold rain from Israel, just to punish them for what they're doing or not doing. That's why Elijah will say it's not going to rain 3.5 years here because of your wickedness. Now it doesn't necessarily say that about other nations, or there's no other nations that really have those promises. But God he's going to deal with this group of people according to the land, according to the weather, according to just the physical creation, really. And interestingly enough, other nations are going to be blessed by the nation of Israel. Other nations are going to be hurt when they hurt Israel, things like that. And we could talk about all that for I don't know, a long time. But you get the idea. This whole chapter, I mean, trying to sum up the whole thing, and this whole chapter really is a foundational chapter for what's going to happen for the rest of the entire Bible. Abraham's going to be a key figure. The land is important to God and will always be important to God. And there will constantly be these enemies in the land, and there will constantly be this disobedience by God's people of trying to incorporate other cultures and things like that. And so through all of that, What you get out of this is God makes a promise to Abram. And whether Abraham at this point is obedient or disobedient, God's just going to honor the promise. So you'll find God will make a promise. Abraham, he leaves. You'll see in the next couple chapters that sometimes Abraham obeys, sometimes Abraham disobeys. But ultimately, God will continually remind the nation of Israel, he will continually remind them, I made a promise to Abram, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, which will happen a little bit later, but I made a promise to your forefathers, and I'm going to honor that promise whether you disobey or obey. It's not going to be any different. I'm going to honor what I said. And so from this going on, from this chapter, people say things like that, you know, God's done with Israel, which I don't really know what that means, because like we said, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to Israel. Yeah. Well, and it's not that he's their unfaithfulness. He's always trying to get them to be faithful. And he gave them all these advantages. And where they were unfaithful, you know, they get cut off. And where they're faithful, they're blessed and things like that. But the point is, God makes these promises. And at the end of this chapter, you find out, well, Abraham's disobeying God, and now he's outside of where God wants him to be, but God's still going to make sure that the promises he made to Abram are going to hold true. So at the end of the chapter, God protects Sarah, and I mean it really, there's so much that we could deal with in this chapter. There's so many things, but I want you to get the overview of this. That this chapter sets the tone for almost the whole rest of your Bible. Everything's gonna come back to this. You got the land, you got the faith of Abram, you even got the disobedience of Abram, and you still got the promise of God, and all of these things. God, he's gonna make Abraham a great nation. He's gonna bless Abraham. He's gonna make his name great. He's gonna bless them that bless him. He's going to curse them that curse him. And so in all of this, you have, I don't know how else to put it, but you have the rest of the Bible contained in these promises that God will continually refer back to over and over and over and over throughout the Bible. So the Lord makes these national promises to Abram. You got that point. He reiterates the promises in verses 6 through 9. The state of the land is occupied by enemies of God, and then it becomes a famine. It becomes a drought over there, probably because of the nations that are there, and leads Abram to leave the promised land. And then ultimately, God's going to send him back. He'll end up back over there, but. What it highlights in Abram's disobedience at the end is God's promises, and that God's going to uphold his end of the bargain. Whether Abraham is obedient or he's disobedient, is God's going to hold up his end of the bargain. So I don't know how else to break this thing down other than to say this chapter is just foundational. It's going to set the tone for the rest of what you read. And these are the promises to Abram. And remember, when we get into the next chapter, keep this in the back of your mind. When Abraham and Lot show up together in the Bible, Abraham is a type of Christ when he shows up with Lot, and Lot is always a type of Israel when he's with Abraham. And keep that in mind. We'll talk more about that next week. But these are the promises to Abraham, and these things will set the tone for the rest of the Bible. So. We'll go home with that. Father, I thank you for these words. I pray it's been helpful. And just there's so much information in this chapter, and so much of the rest of the Bible is based on what happens in this chapter. I pray you'd help us understand our Bibles. That's really what my goal is in this, is to help us understand what we're reading here and kind of get an overview of the rest of the Bible. I pray you'd help us, for those watching or will be watching, pray that you'd encourage them, and those that are traveling, that you'd get them home safe, that are enjoying some time with family. I pray that those that are sick, you'd heal up their bodies, and just thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your words, and thank you for this time together, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.